The AI infrastructure rollout is taking more casualties, and this time it's your online games. Plus, one of the most popular VR apps ever announces its closure. Tonight is April 5th, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That's right. It's me. We're here. There are humans further away from the Earth than there have been in decades. And we're all still here. So, I mean, that's good, right? Welcome to a moonshot edition, I guess, of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at that Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, so you can come join us live, interact with us directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast. We are a little bit behind on the podcast. I do apologize for that. I will be able to talk more next, or not, I'm not even going to talk more about it, but I will let you know next week what I've been doing this week and next week, but I cannot tell you about it until next week. It has nothing to do with Vogue, and no, I'm not in trouble. It'll make sense when I talk about it next week, but that's why I haven't had the time to devote to the podcast audience as much recently as I usually do. Once again, I'll talk about it next week. I don't want to risk anything this week, and it is it's not an NDA. Anyway, I don't want to get in any trouble with anybody. And it has nothing to do with video games, nothing to do with Vogue, nothing to do with my day job. Anyway, I've got a shirt on just for the podcast audience. It's the NASA logo. It says not flat. We checked. Artemis 2 is up. Heading towards the moon, going to go do a slingshot around the moon and come home. There is a Sailor Moon Artemis overwatching in Mission Control. So good luck to them, and I hope that it is successful, so we can finally, so I can actually watch a moon landing in my lifetime. Because even though I'm 29 plus, we've never landed on the moon in my lifetime. That's how long it's been. So, or we landed humans on the moon. Other things have landed on the moon. Since I've been alive. And Fifth Dream says Artemis hangs around Luna just like Sailor Moon. As Shurnamad says, they are halfway there to the moon. Not even living on a prayer. So yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the news that I've come across this week. And we've been talking about the AI infrastructure rollout, which is the actual, like, that is the neutral term that I am using for all of the data centers sprouting up to handle generative AI workloads and, neural networks and large language models and the other types of things that come up with generative AI. The industry has called it the AI infrastructure rollout, so that is what I am calling it. You can call it whatever you want, but that's what I'm going to call it. So, you know, the everybody's buying up all the RAM, all the storage. And they are doing all that in order to do the AI infrastructure rollout. And now there's a brand new casualty that I got to admit I did not see coming. But it makes perfect sense as to why it would be. And it's your online games. Because, you know, and this is not about making the games. That the AI infrastructure rollout is to assist in making the games. But what about running them? See, it takes a while to build a server farm. It takes a while to construct everything. It takes a while to get the computers out there. But there are so many server farms already existing. where you don't have to actually build the infrastructure. It already exists. And it's doing things like serving web pages or running an online game server or doing other things like that. It already exists. PC Gamer reports that Stormgate, the StarCraft-like RTS that launched into early access in 2024 and hit 1.0, version 1.0, a year later, is ending support for online play at the end of April because Hathora, which provides server functionality for the game, has been purchased by an AI company. There's a chance that online play could be restored at some point in the future, but for now, developer Frost Giant Studios says it will patch Stormgate so it can be played offline. Hathora announced in March that it had been acquired by Fireworks AI and that its support for games like Stormgate will end on May 5th. A partnership with GameFabric, quote, to provide a clear migration path and hands-on support through the transition, unquote, was announced at the same time, but Stormgate apparently isn't going to make that move. One possible reason is that Stormgate isn't seeing as much action these days. A Kickstarter campaign drew nearly $2.8 million from backers, on top of the $35 million in private funding Frost Giant had already secured from investors, and a subsequent investment opportunity raised another $1.2 million. But early access stumbled, and the 1.0 release in 2025 did not turn things around. There were problems with like the core features, terrain editor, co-op mode. User reviews on Steam are mixed, with less than 50% of them positive, and concurrent player numbers haven't exceeded double digits since December of 2025. The peak concurrent player count for the past 24 hours, as this was written, was just 28. For a free-to-play game, that's not sustainable. So, they announced on their Discord that they are ending online support. Frost Giant said that it hopes to restore online play at some point in the future, but that will require finding a partner to support ongoing operations. Given that Stormgate likely isn't making that much money these days, guess those options are pretty limited. What this means, what's going on here, is that their server company that they had, had an agreement with, had a monthly fee or usage fees or whatever. They decided that this other bigger company came in and said, "Look, Hathora, you already have computers, you already have server racks, you already have air conditioning, you already have cooling systems, you already have all this. Let us buy all of that. And we will have it work with AI companies." And that means, and what they basically said is, yeah, we're going to go in, we're going to get rid of your game companies, we're going to sell off your clients there to this other company, GameFabric. But GameFabric probably charges a lot more money, because guess what? Now that there's so many AI companies that want server space, they're willing to pay more for it, so the cost of space in a server room has now gone up. Because why would no company in their right mind would say, well, you know, I've got this great server space, and let's say, you know, I charge you, this company, $500 a month to run their game server. Or that exact same computer, that exact same piece of hardware, in the exact same space in the rack, this AI company will pay $2,000 a month. As a business owner running a server farm, you would not be a good business person if you didn't take the $2,000 a month customer over the $500 a month customer. As Jared and Matt says, to be honest, I'm surprised this hasn't started happening more. Maybe it's just the beginning. I think it is, because now that we're seeing that, you know, the RAM and storage is at a premium, now it's, well, let's go into existing infrastructure and just use what's already out there instead of buying new RAM and new... That's what the big boys are doing. That's what Anthropic's doing. That's what OpenAI is doing. They're buying the new RAM. They're buying the new storage. But there's plenty of servers and server farms and hardware and infrastructure running your websites that could just as easily just change the software and it runs generative AI. I think we are going to see it more. I think, you know, I would not be surprised if I get told at some point that the server where we host VogNetwork.com is going to no longer service websites, because there's no money in websites anymore. There's only money in AI. That's where the money is. And so this is going to also affect a lot of online games, especially indie online games. Because a game like World of Warcraft, like Blizzard owns their own data center, and they're not going to let some AI company come in and buy their data center. But, you know, if you're an indie company, indie game company, you used to be able to, you know, there were some pretty good affordable solutions to running an online game that's distributed like this. And those are going to go away, because why leave money on the table when an AI company is willing to pay you 4 to 5 to 10 times more than your independent game hobbyist game developer who wants to turn it into a career, but right now it's a hobby. Why would you? I think we are going to see this more, and it's going to make the type of games that indie game makers make different. Because you, even if we go back to what a lot of people wish we would go back to, where, you know, the it's a direct connection, which basically means one person runs the server for the game, for that session. It's not an MMO. But, you know, then you would directly connect to their IP. You'd still need some kind of matchmaking service. You'd still need a server that is run somewhere that does the matchmaking. Even if the actual game itself is being run, there is a host, and then other people connect to that host, that special IP, which, you know, sometimes gets blocked by modem routers. And that's why they do the centralized, where even if it's like you're playing a game that's like, you know, I almost said Dead by Daylight, but then I'm sure that Jamie would be like, no, this, you don't know how Dead by Daylight's run server infrastructure is. And you're right, I don't. So I'm not going to use that. But other games, like, you know, let's say Halo on Xbox, right? You would connect to Xbox's servers, and they would basically be the host for whatever 16 players were in the map at the time. You know, the direct connection is one of those 16 players would be the host and be required to send out all the game information to everybody else. The reason that Xbox was the host was because then you didn't have to worry about port forwarding on your router. You didn't have to get real technical or anything like that. You connected and they served to you. You'd still need a matchmaking server somewhere. But remember, why is someone going to buy a matchmaking server or get access on a matchmaking server when there's an AI company that's willing to pay them more for the exact same resources? And maybe this will be better once the AI infrastructure rollout is further along. But people are scrambling for resources, and they are more than willing to take existing resources and repurpose them to get them off the ground quicker than waiting months or years for the actual data centers to be physically built and getting zoned and going through governments and, you know, all the stuff that needs to happen from a regulatory sense to build those data centers. It's a lot easier to just buy an existing data center and move in all your stuff and kick out all the people that were on it. I do expect to actually hear more about this. I'm sure that Stormgate is not the only game that was on Hethora, but it's the only one that opted not to continue with Game Fabric, and I am going to guess that Game Fabric charges more than Stormgate does, or than Hethora did. So it was not, or they would have to sign a new contract, and maybe, you know, they had a sweetheart deal at Hethora that, you know, maybe they paid less. I don't know. I don't know the inner workings there, but we're going to see more of this, I think. And it's also going to change the type of games that are made. I think you're going to see less online games in the indie space, because where are you going to run the servers if there's no servers available for a decent price? So, yay, AI infrastructure rollout, doing great things for the industry. It'll help them build the game, but, like, then, you know, you can't run it unless you have a server. And as Jared Matt says, LAN parties coming back. I mean, LAN parties still exist. DreamHack is a big LAN party. There's a lot of PAX has a bring your own computer, and that's a LAN party. That's just basically a LAN party. It's more having the hosted servers there at the LAN party is not necessarily something that a lot of people do recently. It was back in the day when LAN parties were huge in the 90s. They would have the Quake server on premises, and you had your high speed connection to the Quake server, and that was why you went to LAN parties. But nowadays, even at LAN parties, you're still connecting to the server outside of the convention center or hotel or wherever the LAN party is. You're just connecting that way instead of connecting to a local server. But even then, buying a local server in this economy when RAM and storage, like, unless you can repurpose something you already have. Anyway, unfortunately, let's talk about something else that let's talk about something else that's shutting down. Unfortunately, this is something, and I unfortunately never actually went in and experienced this. As much as ZenMonkey11, who I believe is not here tonight, he's most likely got something else going on, which is fine. It's Sunday night. It's Easter Sunday here. I totally understand that there are people not here. I completely 100% understand. I do appreciate the people that are here. Thank you so much. But if you're listening to this on the podcast because you couldn't be here because it's Easter Sunday, totally understand. But Rec Room on VR. It was a big VR playground, kind of Roblox-like. And it was kind of like, you know, when you thought of like the metaverse that wasn't being made by a major corporation, you would think of things like VR Chat and Rec Room. Those were really the two that you thought of. They were the ones that kind of broke through the mold over things like virtual desktop and things like that. But or big screen, virtual desktop and big screen were also kind of metaverse-ish. But you thought of Rec Room and VR Chat. Well, The Verge reports that Rec Room, a Roblox-like social gaming platform that lets users create games and experiences for others to play, is shutting down on June 1st. Despite reaching more than 150 million players and creators and at one point being valued at $3.5 billion with a B, the company says in a blog post that, quote, "We never quite figured out how to make Rec Room a sustainably profitable business, and our costs always ended up overwhelming the revenue we brought in," unquote. The company also notes that with the recent shift in the VR market, quote, "along with broader headwinds in gaming, the path to profitability has gotten tough enough that we've made the difficult decision to shut things down," unquote. Rec Room laid off half of its staff back in August, and a few days later, after the cuts were announced, Rec Room CEO and co-founder Nick Fate said that doing the layoffs when it did, quote, "gave us the ability to take care of people while still setting up Rec Room for years, not months of funding," unquote. Rec Room isn't the only social gaming platform that struggled as of late. Starting in June, Meta Horizons Worlds won't get new VR experiences as the company shifts its focus to the platform to mobile, and Epic Games laid off 1,000 employees due to a downturn in Fortnite engagement that meant the company was spending significantly more than we're making, according to Tim Sweeney. So Rec Room had a lot of players, a lot of user-generated content going on over there, so people could make money on Rec Room, just like they could in Roblox, and they can do it in VR Chat. And Rec Room was a lot of people's favorites. Like, that was where their community was. And unfortunately, because the big players fumbled so badly on the metaverse and they're now going to AI, it's causing a lot of people to look at things like Rec Room negatively, because we were promised the metaverse and, you know, we didn't get the metaverse from Meta. So this is sad to see, because this was something that, like I said, I never went in and used it, but I do know that people loved it a lot, and there were people that made a pretty good living making content for Rec Room and selling it on the Rec Room marketplace, which Rec Room got a cut. But it's all about the sustainability and the profitability. And with what people are going to now, what consumers are going to now, and with the, you know, the price of everything going up, so you got to cut out some, you know, luxury prices, and Rec Room items are probably one of the easiest things to cut out of your budget when things get pretty tight, right? So, you know, do you buy food or do you buy that thing in Rec Room? Well, you're going to buy the food. It sucks. It sucks to hear about it. There was the layoffs earlier. We're losing a lot in engineering, and I understand that the thinking is that the AI agents are going to pick up the slack. That's what they're there for. Once this AI infrastructure rollout is done, we're going to see so much amazing things created by AI for our entertainment, and I know that's the hope, but it sucks to watch now, because that's not here yet. That's not here in April of 2026, and yet we're losing all this stuff in April of 2026.
I keep looking at my wrist on camera. Like, I'm looking at a watch, and I don't have a watch on. It's two hairs past a freckle. So what is happening with a lot of the Rec Room stuff? Well, GeekWire reports that Snap Inc. confirmed late Monday that it has acquired select access assets from Rec Room Incorporated following the news that the Seattle-based company plans to shut down its longtime social gaming platform. Some of Rec Room's employees will be joining Snap, but this does not appear to signal that Rec Room will be resurrected at Snap, at least not in its current form. Specifically, the Rec Room employees will work at Specs Inc., the Snap hardware subsidiary, to support its Specs eyewear and augmented reality initiatives, the California-based company says in response to an inquiry from GeekWire. Snap, which is the parent company of Snapchat, it's very important to know here, has maintained a Seattle engineering center since 2015. The company did not disclose deal terms, pricing, or other details of the asset sale. And it is not clear how many Rec Room employees will be hired as part of the transition. The move comes in advance of the expected launch later this year of Specs, Snap's next-generation glasses. Snap has been betting on high-tech glasses for years, and in January established Specs Inc. as a wholly owned subsidiary to focus on its spectacles/Specs hardware business. So a competitor to the Ray-Ban Meta glasses that more and more tech bros are wearing everywhere so they can record video just out of their eyes. That's where the Rec Room people are going. Snap said it was impressed with the Rec Room team's expertise in building social multiplayer XR experiences. That's extended reality. So XR is kind of the catch-all term right now for virtual reality, augmented reality, things like that. Reached via phone, Nick Fate, the Rec Room co-founder and CEO, said he was very proud of the team, thankful to the Rec Room community, and excited for what's next. Snapchat now has the people that made Rec Room to make something different. Like, and people are probably going to read in that, Rec Room's going to come to Snapchat. No, it's not. Just like how, you know, Rock Band didn't really come to Fortnite just because Epic bought Harmonix. Something similar came to Fortnite, but like Rock Band didn't come into Fortnite. Like Rock Band didn't get resurrected. And so that's probably what's going to happen here is they're going to have something that is a community element. They're more interested in the community element than they are in the actual games because the market isn't there. Gamers have already rejected VR. Gamers as a whole. I'm gonna say that. Like, some gamers still love VR gaming. I know I do. So I'm being a little generic here. But gamers have rejected VR. The majority of gamers have rejected VR gaming. So there isn't going to be much more money in VR gaming for a while. So they're pivoting to augmented reality, which more people are willing to have now that we can have these augmented reality glasses that look like glasses, but you can tell they're not just glasses. And, you know, they're pivoting to that because there is a broad, larger consumer market for those type of devices and not necessarily for a virtual reality headset because consumers didn't want virtual reality headsets, it turns out. They did for a bit, and now they don't. Now we've moved on. Fifth Dream says, I remember talking to the developers of Rec Room in Rec Room in the early days. Yeah, then you find that with a lot of these smaller projects that are, especially in their infancy, in their early days, yeah, you are going to get to know the developers. They're going to be like family to you as well. There's the whole parasocial relationship there. And and then they get money. And then, you know, Rec Room didn't sell out. I think that's important to know here. Rec Room didn't sell to a larger company. Meta did not buy Rec Room. They weren't acquired until it was over. Snapchat came in after they said, we're closing down Rec Room. So unlike something like Beat Saber, or there was an exercise app that a lot of people love that Meta bought, and Meta shut down that exercise app, and that had a community and stuff. They got out on the high. Those founders got out on a high, and then, you know, Meta took over. Rec Room never did that. Rec Room tried to stay an independent company, and they basically went down with the ship. And then now Snapchat's coming in getting some of the assets. We don't know exactly which assets, but they're acquiring some of the assets and some of the team. So F's in the chat for Rec Room. If you were someone who enjoyed Rec Room, I feel for you because it does suck having to leave a place that, especially if one that you've been, a virtual space especially, that you've been for a long time. And it's interesting because for people that are a little bit older, 25 years ago, we migrated communities all the time. We never really stayed in the same community for very long. And then when social media came out, like we had to migrate every couple of years. Like, you might have started on LiveJournal, then you went to Friendster, then you went to MySpace, then you went to Facebook, and then Facebook just stuck around. And then Twitter came up, and Twitter just stuck around. And then that's why, after 15 years, everybody's like, what are we going to do? We have to leave Twitter now. And they don't know what it's like to have to leave a community like that because there was so much longevity for 15, 20 years. The stuff that was popular, the social media that was popular in 2008 was still popular in 2018. And that wasn't the case early on. So it sucks. And Rec Room is the latest community that's going to close down. I don't have it in the show roll because I wasn't going to read it, but the developers of VR Chat did come out and say they're not going anywhere. They're doing just fine on funding. They're doing just fine being an independent entity like they are. They are doing just fine. They are not closing down anytime soon. There is nothing to worry about there. So if you believe that, then VR Chat is still there, and they're kind of the big juggernaut. The biggest issue with VR Chat is that it is very unfortunately for them, and this is not a bad thing, but it probably is limiting their reach somewhat because there are people that just can't handle this. But it is very coded towards furries and anime waifus, and so you aren't going to unfortunately get you unfortunately are not going to get the majority of people onto a platform that is like that because they don't understand that it's not a big deal. To them, it is. And perception is key, unfortunately. So that is the big issue with VR Chat's adoption, and Rec Room didn't have the same problem. Rec Room didn't have that same issue. It was not really furry and anime waifu coded. It was more Roblox kid coded. But yeah, so VR Chat's going to be fine. It's pretty much the only metaverse left standing now with everything else gone, like with Meta shutting down theirs and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, and the last story I wanted to talk about, this was actually given to us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. It's where you can be throughout the week and actually submit stories. And I would not have seen this either for a bit. But it's interesting, and I wanted to bring this up because this kind of might tie into something that happened earlier that we talked about, and it's about backwards compatible games. Obviously, there is a major shift at Xbox now that Phil Spencer is out and Asha Parma is in. The This Is an Xbox campaign has been canceled. It is gone. Sarah Bond is gone, who was a big thing on that campaign, and they really wanted to talk about backwards compatibility and bring more backwards compatibility. That's what we were talking about at Game Developer Conference. Well, Pure Xbox report that there's been a lot of talk about Xbox backwards compatibility in 2026, especially teasing the revival of the program at GDC, but there's no idea what we're doing going to be getting. But there has been an interesting discovery by the Better xCloud social media account recently, which has pointed out that Xbox has been relisting and then quickly delisting multiple backwards compatible games. So relisting and delisting means put up for sale. This is not turning on or off backwards compatibility if you already own these games. This is, can somebody acquire these games and put them on their Xbox account? That's what we're talking about here. The specific games they found are Armed and Dangerous, Aegis Wing, and Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, all of which were delisted on the Xbox store some time ago, while Mars Warlogs has just been quietly delisted itself. So Aegis Wing was a free game. So if it was already in your account, you're fine. It was a free game developed internally at Microsoft. I don't know why it was delisted in the first place. Nobody knows. And we're never going to find out. But if you already had it on your account, it's fine. The one I wanted to bring up that I thought was really interesting to be relisted is in the sense of assuming this is something jumped the gun. There was supposed to be a release first or something. You know, I don't know. I could put my, you know, pessimist hat on and say it was Microsoft and some rogue AI relisted them, which is, you know, Microsoft is relying more and more on AI agents inside, you know, using Microsoft Copilot and things. It's very possible that an AI agent relisted these and a human came in and said, no, 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 turn it off. But we don't know for sure. That's speculation. But Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, if you recall, we ran a story a couple months ago when Ubisoft did all of their layoffs and they canceled a bunch of projects, including the Sands of Time remake. And typically when you make a remake, you delist the original because you don't want people buying the original for $5. You want them buying your remake for 70. And so maybe now that the Prince of the Sands of Time remake has been canceled, maybe Ubisoft will be like, well, let's relist the Sands of Time on Xbox backwards compatibility so we can make money off of it again. So that's why I thought this was interesting, is that, you know, that Prince of Persia Sands of Time was in here, because it makes perfect sense if it was delisted to try to get people to get the remake or be prepared for the remake and you know, kind of put it in the Disney vault, if you will. Then it makes sense that now that the game's canceled, the remake's canceled, bring the original back and make some money off of it. As Sharon Amat says, the remake was in development hell. It's a shame it didn't get off the ground. And for whatever reason, it didn't get off the ground. And so maybe, you know, so people can legally play the Sands of Time. And if they're willing to spend money on the Sands of Time, bring it back on the Xbox backwards compatibility. There's the only licensing issue there is yourself. Whereas, you know, some of these others have music licenses or other licenses that expire. You the only license you need is yourself. So bring it back. I would love to know why Aegis Wing was delisted in the first place. It was a free game developed inside by Microsoft for their XNA platform, which was, I forget what XNA actually stood for. It might not have stood for anything, for all I know. But it was the platform to allow indie, like hobbyist developers to build for the Xbox 360 specifically. And a lot of people got their start. YYR, who is a friend of the network who does a lot of games, he got to start making games in the XNA platform for Xbox 360. And even I did some stuff in XNA. I never released anything. But it was a really easy entry into making games because this was right at the beginning. Like, the Unity game engine hadn't come out yet. The Unity game engine, I think, came out in response to the XNA platform. But Aegis Wing was a game that was made for XNA, and it was released for free on Xbox 360. And so I don't know why it was delisted. I don't know what license is going on there, but yeah. Orange Wright says, Orange Wright did the research for me. Thank you very much, Orange Wright. That's why I love having a chat room. They will tell me when I'm wrong or when I don't know something. Microsoft XNA is a recursive acronym for XNA's not acronymed, which is very much a tech joke for a long time. Lots of acronyms say what they are not. If you ever hear, if like, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to use Windows anymore. I'm like, oh, just, you know, get a Linux machine and put Wine on it. W-I-N-E. It literally, the acronym for Wine is Wine is not an emulator. In way back when, we had early days of email and we didn't have these things called email clients on our computers and you had to use them over a Unix shell account, a popular one was Elm. And I don't remember what Elm stands for, but I used another one called Pine. And it's all text-based. But Pine was a better email. You know, you could read your email and, you know, respond and stuff and things. And Pine's acronym is literally Pine is not Elm. Yeah, they want to bring back more backwards compatibility because then, you know, they can sell a lot of these games again. And it's part of its licensing and part of it's probably not getting the emulation up to snuff. But hey, now they've got AI that they can, you know, kind of patch those holes. That's what it's for, right? So, yeah, I figured I was going to blow through the stories pretty quickly. And also, it's Easter Sunday. There's not that much more to talk about. We are going to go ahead and take our music break, though. Then if you want to jump into the Green Room voice chat channel, the time to do that is now. So you can jump in the green room. Maybe we'll chat about something, anything going on in the gaming industry that you want to talk about. Even if I did not talk about it here, we can talk about it for just a little bit. So we're going to take our music break now. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Commodore Lawson of the LTE Bridge, and you're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show.
I figure since Artemis is out there halfway to the moon, I could talk, you know, have that bumper playing. Thank you so much. LTEBridge.com, still around, still doing LTE Bridge type stuff. They will probably be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. They will probably be at Dragon Con. I will learn more about that a little bit later whenever all that stuff happens. There are things happening in the realm of both of those things that I can't talk about yet because I don't really know all the details, but those conventions here in the Atlanta area, 1 month away from each other because the World Cup moved the Southern Fried Gaming Expo very late. It's actually right on top of Gen Con, which sucks for a lot of people, but we'll have more information about all those a little bit later on. I wanted to, I'm checking, nobody's in the green room, but I did want to... I usually don't do this on the show, but we actually had somebody who is usually part of the show who probably has thoughts. ZenMonkey11, who I've referenced a couple times on the show. You've heard his chat comments before. I talked a lot about Rec Room's closure, so I didn't know if ZenMonkey11, I'll vamp her a little bit, but if ZenMonkey11 wanted to like give his thoughts on the impending closure of Rec Room, because he's who I thought of. When I heard about it, because I think he was in, there was another former listener of the show who hasn't come around for a while, which is fine. Like, I have a lot of former listeners. It's cool. Who was very big in Rec Room. And, I wonder how he's feeling right now, because he was the one that was always trying to get me into Rec Room on the PlayStation VR, on PlayStation 4. And I never did. I think I downloaded it, but I never went in because I just didn't want to be around people. And that's a me problem. That's not an it problem. It's also why I don't actually like interact with anybody in VR chat. But the Rec Room impending closure because it couldn't be profitable despite having 150 million accounts. Kind of weird. I get it. Things have changed. Times have changed. It's been kind of a slow week because it's like I said, it is Easter weekend here. And so a lot of and I believe Passover was this week as well. So, a lot of religious celebrations going on all around the world, so I can understand that, like, less things to talk about here on the show. And Passover is still happening. Thank you very much, Dark Sagra, as is Easter, because, it's still going on right now. So me and my religious self, obviously, but I hope that... If it's a celebration, I hope that it is a good celebration for you. If it's more of a time of remembrance, I hope that your thoughts have helped and all that stuff. So, Passover is until the 9th. ZenMonkey11 says, Rec Room is a huge loss. It was so much fun. It got taken over by kids. And PodCulture says, those meddling kids. And I believe that because, like, even the article I read on the air said the Roblox-like VR space. And so if they were comparing it to Roblox in, like, the third word of the article, then, yeah, I can see it being overrun by kids. As Jeremy Matt says, a lot of kids are in VR these days. Our nephew plays with a lot of other fellow kids. And so I feel like my avatar needs to have the skateboard on the back, and I'm, with the backwards hat saying, how do you do, fellow kids? Or I could just not be there at all. So it's more about finding your communities, because there's a lot of communities for older gamers and of all age ranges, middle-aged gamers, early-age gamers. You just got to find them. And, as we branch back out from having a couple social media networks dominate everything, we're hopefully going to be able to find more of those communities, like here at VOG. All right. So, yeah, I don't see anybody in the green room, so we're going to go ahead and talk about what's going to be coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. We have Orange Sound Radio, 2DX. It's three people who talk about more than just gaming. They talk about geek culture and the other things going on there, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on. OLR, are you there?
I'm not anywhere else.
Well, I am glad that you are here. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I rearranged my office and didn't go out to do anything for the holiday I had completely forgotten about until yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah,
But happy Easter to whoever celebrates it.
Yes, happy Easter to whoever celebrates. We also stayed home just to not be out at the time, just to, you know, so we can... We did some cleaning of a room, is what we did.
So. Well, I was going to have lunch with the cousins. Hubby went over there, and it's too far of a drive. I wouldn't have been back in time for the show.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I have not seen the Mario Galaxy movie yet. Have you had a chance to go see it yet?
I haven't even seen the first one.
Oh, okay. The first one. As Jared and Matt actually says it in our chat room really well. He saw the Mario Galaxy movie. If you don't care about plot and you're just looking for a good time, you're in luck. And that's kind of, you know, turn your brain off. Just enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm going to see it eventually. Once everything that's going on right now wraps up, I can try to go see it. But yeah, the first one was kind of the same way. Like, it was cute, but, like, you know, turn your brain off a little bit.
Well, I mean, isn't that, you know, a good thing about having those kind of movies from time to time, just to have something that's fluff and no substance?
Yeah.
It's like candy.
Yeah.
You feel good for a little while, and then the indigestion kicks in.
Exactly. Like, not everything needs to be a, you know, Avengers masterpiece or an Oscar winner. You can just have some things that are fun.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
And thankfully, I didn't talk about any April Fool. I didn't get fooled by any April Fool stories. However, I do wish that I could get the Room pinball machine.
Mm.
Did you see? So Stern Pinball's joke was they were going to release one based on the Room. Oh, yeah. Hi, Multiball.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Behavior did one as well for Dead by Daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one that it actually got a couple of people, and I used it as a joke myself for other people.
Mm-hmm.
They were selling a book, a romance novel between the Wraith and the Nurse that they, you know, kind of dropped some hints and things in game, but they even had a sample chapter up on their store and you could legit click purchase and then it gave you a notice. And so I sent it to my friend, like, hey, look, they're putting out a novel. This is really cool. And if you click the buy now, there's like a thing going on that it tells you, you get the book for free and blah, blah, blah. So she clicked it and she's like, sis. So that was funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, the best April Fool's jokes are the ones that are. Yeah, I feel the best April Fool's jokes are the ones that aren't like, oh, this is a product we've always wanted, or this is something we've always wanted. Now you're going to give it to us. And, oh, April Fool's, like, those aren't good. It's the one, like, just the off the wall ones.
Don't joke about children.
No.
Diseases, quitting your job.
No. Being pregnant.
Any of that.
No.
Yeah. Just find something harmless.
Yeah.
You know, do a Shenlong.
Yeah.
You have to defeat him to stand a chance.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get it, congrats, you're old.
Yep. Tiger Claw says, you never know, the April Fools could be an actual product. They're not going to make a pinball game based on the Room.
But I wonder if Behavior would make a Nurse and Wraith book. Well, Hatoful Boyfriend was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. No, there have been several April Fool's jokes that have been, you know, actually like full on things that have been coming out, have come out. There was a Sonic the Hedgehog visual, like detective visual novel. That was Namco had Duranko Wonko, which was kind of an April Fool's joke about a Pomeranian that gets muddy and, you know, muds up the place. Essentially the opposite of Power Wash Simulator. The prequel to Power Wash Simulator, let's say. But then there was even the I think, was it Lifetime or Hallmark, but one of those, you know, rom-com stuff, made the KFC romance, like steamy romance show that was like 15 minutes. Yeah.
But then we got the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sometimes that's just a lot of the creative ideas come out because they're like, oh, it'd be an April Fool's joke. And then it's like, it's actually a creative idea.
Ideas come out of April Fool's because people do not limit themselves to what is allowable, financially responsible, etc. And in that point, you get to gauge reactions to the unordinary, and it's suddenly it's innovation.
Yeah, Tiger Claw mentions the 8-bit tie. Do you remember the 8-bit tie? It was an April Fool's joke, became a real product. Yeah, I have two of them.
Yep, I remember.
Yep, the original ThinkGeek April Fool's joke. That was the first one they had done.
So, yeah, I miss ThinkGeek, RIP. Yeah.
Yep, F's in the chat for them. So what else are you going to be, what are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX tonight?
Well, I know you talked a good bit about AI, and I'm going to talk a little bit about AI, but a different facet of it.
Yep.
And we also talk about some movie trailers, about reforestation.
Okay.
Some X-Men stuff. I do have DBD news, as always. Mm-hmm. And maybe something about Truxton. As we nod to the video game gallery in the sky.
All right. Well, Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is coming up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Anytime.
So
see you then.
That is it for me. I'm actually ending a little early tonight. This is amazing. Maybe it'll mean I can get the podcast feed up, you know, back up. I apologize to those of you listening on the podcast feed. It has been a couple of weeks late. You can go to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Don't tell my fellow business owner here at Vogue. I actually turned off the subscriber only on that when we were forced to remove all of our stuff except for the last 100 hours. So for 2 weeks, you can actually watch the video recording of this. You don't have to be subscribed to us on Twitch. You can just go to the video. And so if you really want to hear the uncut version of the podcast earlier, you can do that. I will be working on getting us back on track, especially because I will be gone. I might be gone, actually. It could change the last weekend of April. So there might not be a show for me on the last weekend of April. Right now, there's not going to be, but things could change, and then I will actually be here. The trip that I am going on may not happen that weekend. So we will see. So I apologize to the podcast folks that we're so behind, but thank you so much for sticking with it. I will try to get things up and get us caught back up, which means you might see you might have seen two episodes in 1 week or something. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But as of April 5th, we are now three episodes behind on the podcast feed, and that's not something that I like. And just a lot of things happened, and so I apologize for that. So thank you so much for sticking with us. We will be back here, though, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come catch us live, interact with the show directly, or you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord, or you can find us on Facebook and at Bobby Blackwolf, which I very rarely post, but Instagram at Bobby Blackwolf, Blue Sky at BobbyBlackwolf.com. That is where you can find me throughout the week. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. And we would not be able to make this work without the people, without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. You being here, especially on a especially on a holiday weekend, on Easter Sunday or during Passover, especially that, you being here, it's amazing. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. But we do have people that go above and beyond with bits and subscriptions on Twitch, and I like to recognize them and thank them for that. So Fifth Dream resubscribed. Thank you so much. Tiger Claw resubscribed. And Sean322 tiered 200 bits saying, hoip, that got us to a hype train, which SSJ when I'm at also added 200 bits to the hype train. So thank you so much. That completed our hype train, and I really do appreciate it. And I love you all. So we're going to stop being sappy. I'm going to try to find the button that turns on the end of the show here, which is somewhere. There it is. So now I hit the button. We're going to go. We're going to head out of here. Thank you so much for being here, and play some games. Enjoy some games. See you next week.
A winner is you.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.